it, but I think they did a really good job. And I think one of the things that they, you know, that they really came up with was, hey, these trails really weren't constructed right from day one. The drainage wasn't accounted for when these were constructed, and the grade of the trails is too steep for an aggregate trail system. So they provided a couple of different options. One that Tom and I and his staff really like is basically rerouting the trail systems, though, so that some of the steeper areas no longer would be trails, and then we would reconstruct some sidewalk along Old Baxter Road to try to replace some of those trails, and then again eliminate the trails in the steeper portions of the park. There's almost a mile of trails within the park. It doesn't seem that much when you look at it initially, but it is quite a bit of trail, and it is used by a lot of people, especially the portion by the dog park. And I think it's important to point out that the portion of the trails that lead from the parking lot to the dog park are one of the better areas of the trail. There's only been minimal erosion in that area. That section of the trail is still serviceable, so the residents and their dog companions can use that trail to get to and from the dog park portion of the park. So, you know, while we think the proposal from Horn & Schifrin is a good one, the cost, unfortunately, is very high. It was about $850,000 to make the improvements to that trail system. So Tom and I and Mr. Geisel, we discussed this, but okay, we just don't see how we can make an expenditure of that magnitude at this time. But by the same token, leaving the trails in their eroded and dilapidated state for an extended period of time just didn't seem palatable either. So what we're proposing today is that the council, or that the Planning Public Works Committee the Parks Committee make a recommendation to council to allocate money for design for the trails. Horn & Schifrin kind of created a preliminary design, but we really would need detailed plans to make this happen. And then we would ask them to divide that into 3 years. So year one would be design of the trails and the Parks Department removing the sections of trail and dilapidated sections of trail that we're not going to reuse. Then over a three-year period from 2022, 2023, 2024, we would allocate approximately $200,000 a year from the Capital Projects Fund to reconstruct the trail system in the route preliminarily delineated by Horn & Schifrin. We think this is a solution that will, you know, it's not optimal. We'd like to do this all immediately, but I think it's that is workable. So that's kind of a quick version of that. I'd be happy to go into more detail on any portion of that or answer any questions.
Well, first off, I know that you had this preliminary design by this one engineering company. Is this something that we should go out to bid for? Just if there's something else
design,
more affordable?
For construction, that's exactly what we would do. We would go out to bid for, so let's assume for sake of argument that the committee decided, yes, we want to proceed as Jim and Tom recommend. What we would do would be contract with the design firm to complete design and create three bid packages. Package A for 2022, package B for 2023, package C for 2024. Those would all publicly be bid. The acquisition of engineering or architectural services, it's Missouri law that be a qualification-based process. So that's not something we would ever bid as part of the, assuming we go this route, we'll issue a request for qualifications from somewhere in the order of 3 to 7 consultants. They'll submit, those parties that are interested will submit proposals. There'll be a selection committee from the staff. We would choose the firm most qualified, design or negotiate a fee with that firm, and that would be presented to council.
Okay, so in theory, there could be three different companies to complete the project, is what you're saying, if there's three different phases?
Construction, yes. There could be three different construction companies plus the work the park staff is doing. So really four.
Okay. Got it. I can't hear you, Mike.
Mike, you're muted.
Had to let the dog out, no pun intended. But it would still be under one master plan from the consulting company, so there would be a master plan that all the companies would be following.
Yes, that's what we've proposed, is that there'd be one, the $70,000 we're requesting would complete one comprehensive design for the park, which would be broken up into three construction phases.
Councilmember McGinnis.
Hey, thank you, Michelle. You guys, I really appreciate all the pictures in here. It really helps to define what's going on here. Mr. Moore, Councilmember Moore, you use this every day.
Every day, that's right.
Yes. What do you? It looks like a hot mess right now.
That's a good way to put it. Right now it's blocked off, so you can't use the trail at all, and it has been blocked off for quite a while.
Sure.
And I would agree with what Mr. Eckridge said, which is that trail, even though I'm inside the park most of the times that I'm there, that trail around the park is used quite a bit. Families walking, kids in strollers, kids in bikes, a fair number of joggers, and just people that are just walking the perimeter of the park. They may not even go into the dog park itself, but the trail around the dog park is in a bad state of repair right now.
Okay, clearly. Let me, if I might, Madam Chair.
Let me go to Councilmember Keithley, and then I'll come back to you.
Okay, I can't.
That's okay. Thank you. Thank you, Michelle. Just the one thing I wanted to point out and make sure we're all cognizant of is that that Everwine's a little bit different than the rest of our park system, because people are paying money to register their dogs there. And I think the perception of the community a lot of times that they feel like they're paying for the use of this particular park. And with the disrepair and all, that kind of gives us a bad look. Additionally, when people have this perception that their funds being expended towards it, and we have these problems located there. So I just think that's an important thing to point out here, that there are more fees associated with you know, enjoying Everwine Park with the dog registration and things like that. That people know they're paying, and I think they expect a certain quality, not just because it's a Chesterfield park, but because they have that stuff involved in it.
Thank you, Mr. Keithley. Councilmember McGinnis.
Could you give us a little history now? How long has this park been here?
It's in 2011, the dog park opened.
And before that, obviously we bought the property and whatever. And then how was it funded?
Part in-house funding and part municipal parks grant.
Okay. And so part of that was this trail.
Correct.
Okay, and part of that was that it would be maintained, right? I mean, we can't
correct
well.
Right. Any municipal park grant that you acquire and, you know, use the funds, the concept is part of that, you will maintain it.
Okay, and was this poorly designed? Why is this happening?
Well, we tried to do it on the cheaper end by not hiring a professional consultant and engineer to lay out the park, because that is, there's a large financial, you know, cost to that. And so at that point in time, staff tried to design it in-house, and then they bid it out. I wasn't around at that point, but they bid it out and did the work. And it, as Jim had mentioned, it worked relatively well until we started having multiple heavy rains, and it just started compounding and wearing away the surface and the whole program. And over the last several years, we've been trying to maintain it ourselves, and it's just not
You're
working.
Patching it up. You're patching it. It needs a fix. It needs a fix.
And it's not just a fix in that area. Like Jim said, physically the trail needs to be moved, so it's not like creating a creek in the park.
Of course. It's a big deal.
Jim?
I think that, Councilmember McGinnis, this is kind of a tough question for Tom and I to answer, because we both came on after this was constructed,
sure.
and I think we would do things differently, but I also think it's easy for us to say that. And we put ourselves in the shoes of the people making the decisions at the time. They really, you know, thought they were doing what was best, using the resources that, you know, that they had allocated to them. And I've seen, you know, I had the opportunity to do a training at the Emergency Management Institute in Maryland a number of years ago. And I saw almost the exact same trail with almost the exact same problem in a section of the trail that's too steep. I think the nice thing about contracting with a firm like Horner and Schifrin is they have expertise. They do trail systems all the time. And I think, quite frankly, that the people we had at the time, while trying to do the right thing, just didn't have the expertise to realize the magnitude of the stormwater on the grade of these trails wasn't going to hold up. And we've had discussions about, well, hey, what happens if, why can't we just pave the trail? We could, but the erosion on the side is going to continue, and then we're going to have problems with the paved trail. Like, it would be better, but it wouldn't be solved. So we really try to look at it, let's look at the part from the beginning. What can we do differently? And Tom's staff, they were the ones that kind of came up with the idea of, hey, let's tie the trail into a sidewalk along Old Baxter. Let's connect these two trails. You know, I think the consultant was really receptive to the ideas. They came up with some of their ideas on their own. But I think what we ultimately have here is a good plan. Just unfortunately, it's a lot of money to implement.
Councilmember Moore.
I just want to clarify the point made by Councilmember Keithley. The trail that we're talking about is a public amenity. You do not have to be a member of the dog park to use correct. That trail.
That is correct.
The dog park fee that you pay, which is $45 a year per dog, is for entrance into the fenced dog park area itself. Anybody can use the trail around the park.
That is correct. Ma'am?
Ben?
Yeah, I just want to play. Yeah, I mean, I understand that part, I think, but people do pay those dog fees. And I'm just saying, I think there's a perception among, I've talked to residents who say, you know, I talked to someone today who was aware that we were discussing Everwine Park, and they said, yeah, I pay to use that park. And I said, oh, you pay the dog registration fee. I'm just saying that there is a perception in the community that people feel like they're paying to use that park because it's mostly dog owners who use it, and they're paying to register their dogs, and you're using it to bring your dogs. And they I think there's an expectation that this park, you know, I mean, there's an expectation with all our parks, but certainly with this park, if there's people who feel like that they're paying some, certainly you don't have to pay to use Everwine. It's a public park, I should say. But I think there are people who pay money towards going there. Those are the people who tend to use it more. Because they're the dog owners and bringing their dogs to a what's advertised as a dog park. But just wanted to clarify, I think we're in agreement on that point. I think it's a reason why, you know, to just something to be cognizant of going forward as we make this decision, that I think there's an extra expectation here that this park should be taken care of.
Councilmember McGinnis, did you have a question?
Let me go find out where it was. I was listening to Ben. So, the three phase, if I might, Madam Chair, the three phase, and I certainly understand the financial constraints you have here. And so we're going to take 200 something a year to phase this in, since we don't have to have one firm, it's a pay as you go type of thing, isn't it? And you're saying it's coming out of capital improvements instead of the parks fund. Typically, would it come out of parks?
So, care about you at that time?
Yeah, go ahead. It's all yours.
So, typically, in the past, these have been funded through the parks, through the park sales tax.
Yes.
But as we look at the parks sales tax over the next several years, there's just not the money there to pay for it. So, really, you know, if this is something that is a capital improvement for the city, it's eligible through the capital projects fund.
Yes.
You know, I think, you know, in a utopia, we would pay this through the parks fund, but given the not restrictions, but given the parameters we have to work with, it seems like it's only reasonable for it to come from the capital projects fund.
Sure. And if I might,
go ahead. Debt,
your fund is not in debt. Your debt is cleaned off.
Correct.
You're paid off. And the parks that, you know, we have a huge parks debt, so a huge debt for everything, but it wasn't what it was. Yeah, I understand that you don't have the cash flow issues per se that the parks fund has.
Correct.
I think I like this plan. I've never heard of some of these things, so I think that's neat. And you think we move the trail, we stabilize everything, and what's the life expectancy of this one then? Because I know you did some work on the Rip Trail too, because you had some erosion problems over there too.
Yeah, the riparian trail was a much different story. That was built right next to a creek that was actively incising and causing those problems. So with the new section of the riparian trail, we're building that farther away from the creek to avoid that from occurring. You know, these trails, you know, they'll exist in perpetuity with the correct amount of maintenance. You know, I think there, as part of the design, we'll look at what these trails should be constructed of. I think specifically because this is a dog park, because of there's some concern about residents and asphalt on the dog's feet, I think either concrete or some kind of alternative material is the correct way to go. I think that's something that we'd ask. You know, Warren Schiffer had some ideas in here, which I think are good ones. We'd ask for whatever firm gets this design project to really dial into some of those and determine what's the best. I think most of this trail would be constructed of concrete with some of the, you know, alternate materials as well. If it's concrete, that trail should last 30 years or so before it has to be reconstructed. But reconstructing it won't be this level of expenditure. We should have to redo the swales. We shouldn't have to reconfigure the trail. It's just a matter of taking up and replacing it, or even doing some kind of overlay. So the maintenance should always be less than the initial, you know, construction we're talking about.
Okay. I'm going to take a left turn here. Tom and Anne-Marie, is there a way for you to allow attendees to come into the meeting?
Tom can. He's the host.
Participants, who do you want to invite in?
Anyone that's in the audience. Not to speak, but to actually view.
Well, we have 11 people, and Dan's the only one that doesn't have his camera as participants.
Right. But I'm talking about the public link that was on the agenda on the website. I have some people that took the link off of the website and want to be present in the meeting, and they can't get it to work. And somebody just sent me a picture saying that the meeting, the webinar will begin soon. And they have all the meeting ID in there.
I'm not sure how to have two meetings at one time, because I pulled the link that Justin sent me, and this is where we are.
She wants to join this meeting. She wants not to join the meeting, but they can't even
be. Yes. Did you go to the full meeting? Did you activate the full meeting?
I clicked here to join and logged in, and that's what I've always done. So
is there a go live button or
record live on YouTube?
No.
I see 11 participants and. There's 11 people on this screen, so.
But there's,
but
if you.
Attendees can get in.
Yeah, they can get in. Justin's.
Oh, wait a second. Up here it's saying there's zero attendees, so.
Right, because the link isn't letting them in.
Okay, hold on. Sorry.
No, that's fine. I just wanted to see if we could get the attendees in.
Oh, yeah. No, I'd like to get them in.
Good. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And we wouldn't. You said Dan is on here? He's a.
Yeah, well, you can see Dan's
No,
name.
I can see nine people, honey.
Well, I think, Barb, if you scroll across, you'll see Dan is blacked out.
and muted, but he's listening probably.
He's listening, but he's also a participant. So there's two different types of meeting attendees. There's participants, and then there's attendees.
Yes, ma'am. I know.
So I figured. So.
Okay, so we have people that want to be attendees that can't get in.
Correct.
I bring this upstairs at City Hall because I couldn't get into your view, but I always think it's me because
I had a problem too, Barb. So
you.
I did. Yeah.
So there is a button at the top of my screen that says practice mode only, attendees cannot join until you broadcast. Well, if I hit broadcast, I'm not getting any more.
Well, maybe give them a minute to try again, maybe.
Okay.
Can they hear us?
No.
They can't even do
that. Well, Ben just left. Or, no, he's not. He hasn't left. He's just, there he is.
He's there.
Let me call Justin and see if...
I just emailed him and asked him.
Oh, you called?
I emailed him.
I'm sorry, guys. There's just...
No, it's... Sorry.
One attendee, though. What's that? Right. What'd you say?
You're right. No, you want everybody... I mean, you want to... The point of this is to include everybody.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Especially because it's a dog park and...
It's a popular thing and...
Absolutely.
We're spending money and, you know, yeah. We're trying to take care of business here and...
Jim, are you able to get a hold of Justin?
No, he's not in his office.
Mayor,
he's here.
I've got a question. Do you know for sure there are people trying to get in to view the meeting?
Yes, because they sent me a picture of what was on their screen trying to get into the meeting.
So that means they are viewing it, right?
No, they haven't been allowed in.
Yeah, so I just tried to get in through my computer and the website.
Is the problem, were we not kicked into the public meeting? Because what it worked, it's when you make a meeting, it generates two links. One for participants that gives you a link to participate and actually speak, and one that only gives you a link to watch. And that's the link that's shared on the city website. People who use that link can only get in and can only watch. They can't actually talk in the meeting unless they raise their hand and are granted permission. I think the problem here right now is what happens is when you get the public link, it kicks you to a different room, and then the participants go in, and then we migrate over there when we're ready to start the public meeting. That's why Justin always says before council, I'm kicking us into the public room. And I think we didn't get kicked into the public room.
So they're saying that it looks like the host hasn't signed in, and it's saying that the webinar will begin soon.
So what
happened in my public health and safety meeting. What happened is I think whoever, I don't know who's running, who's the administrator for the meeting here.
I am the administrator.
So the problem is you need to be logged in on whatever account Justin uses for the city council, not your own and not just like a guest account on Zoom, in order to be able to kick into the public meeting, because it's run off of a paid for subscription. So if you're not in the account that is signed into that paid for subscription, you're not going to have the option. You're just a participant like us right now. You're not going to have the option to kick into the public meeting. So you have to get out, log in to the city's Zoom subscription user account, and then go into the meeting from there so you can kick into the public.
Well, I don't know if I had, when I said join, start the meeting, I had to log in with my email and I had to put in my passcode, but then now it's saying for others to come in, you have to broadcast, but I click on the broadcast and nothing comes up.
That's because you're in your own email.
So should we
Ben's right, but this wasn't set up through Justin's account. This was set up through that other account. I don't have access to...
I think that's the problem, is that it's the meeting is being that Tom is not running it from that account, so Zoom's not going to let you kick into the public meeting.
That concerns me. just because so, we are excluding the public right now. They can't view it until tomorrow when we put it up on the website.
I'm not, is it even, I don't have a logo. I usually get a sign that says the meeting's being recorded. Are we at least recording right now?
Yeah, I don't have that either.
I don't see that symbol that typically is recording, but Anne Marie takes minutes, so yeah, I don't know. I can leave. We can click cancel this meeting and try again, but it may not work. And then we'll have to reschedule the meeting.
Well, but if we're going to try doing the same old thing, I mean,
Tom, I would check emails from Justin and see if he sent you a different one on how to log in. That's what it sounds like Ben is saying, that you should have received.
Yeah, let me see. But the last one he sent is the reminder that the meeting starts in an hour, and I clicked on them.
I think that, in here.
That's auto-generated.
I think the problem is I think Tom's user account on Zoom hasn't been granted the requisite administrative privileges to be able to do the public thing. So I don't know if you have to log in from Justin's account or if the city has a separate account set up to do the Zoom. But I think that's the glitch we're in right now.
Yeah, the city definitely has a different one. Approval.
Does anybody know if Matt Haig is here? I'm at City Hall. You want me to go try to dig that light?
Tom's going to call.
Well, it looks like Jim's on the phone with somebody.
Maybe.
Maybe we should turn this over to F&A.
It'll get worse. A horse and buggy. Let me see if I can find Matt Haig in the meantime. Okay, I just got to walk down the hall. He might not be there, but
I'll call him and see if he's there.
Okay. If Justin Wise has overriding authority, he can probably do it remotely.
I just talked to Justin. I'm going to try to do this.
No, Matt didn't answer his phone, so. I mean, we could go old school, but we can't, and have them call your cell phone, Michelle, and just have them talk into the speaker, but that's not.
I don't want to talk.
Give me a second.
Okay.
That's not what I'm really concerned about. I'm just concerned that they can't hear what we're talking about. We're excluding also, the public.
If it's not on YouTube, nobody will ever know. Nobody believes.
And that's, you know.
That's not what we want.
I would be more apt to reschedule the meeting when we figure out how to get the public in. So.
Well, maybe let's what Jim's up to.
No, we are.
I have to say, already they've missed some really good discussion.
I know.
We've learned a lot from each other just talking this through.
I know.
So maybe if we ever get this resolved in the next few, a recap of what's been going on to catch people up would be in order.
Absolutely. Okay. That's what I was going to ask.
You're back at that honor park again, woman. I just go from
it's one of my favorite places.
Oh, absolutely.
I wish I was actually where Ben is, but I don't know where it is, but it's outside. I know you're outside.
Where are you in your car?
It's not.
I was at a meeting. I'm in a parking lot. Public Health and Safety is February 24th. 24th. At what time? 5:30 p.m.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Oh, there's the report logo.
Yep, there it is.
Yeah.
So something's going on here. hear that racket, or is that me?
It's just background noise, like air conditioning or heating or air blowing.
Now, Mr. Whalen, where are you? You're at your house, honey?
I am at my house. I was just during this technical timeout, I was looking at everybody's background, and I vote that Anne Marie's view of the lake is probably the best scenery I see so far. Not to take anything away from anybody, but
I think did you just way. Say that?
I have Justin on the phone. He's gonna try to. It's gonna take a few minutes, but he's gonna try to get it open and get us in here.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you.
We were on such a roll. We were doing well on time.
Until we weren't. It's okay.
Exactly.
It is what it is.
Mrs. McGinnis, are you going to ever open an ice cream shop in Chesterfield?
No. Oh, sorry.
All right.
One is enough for me. Thank you, Mr. Whalen. One is enough. Plus, I'd have to, everything we do is handmade. Huh? We'd have to hand make everything. I make the ice cream, so it physically would probably be impossible for me unless I hired some ice cream makers, and we kind of like to do it.
No,
like on me to do it, I guess I'm going to say. And
quality control.
Yeah, it's quality control. It, you know, it's, and also, it, I guess if you want it, if you want something from the smokehouse, you got to go there. You know, if you want this, you got to go there. You know, it's just all there is to it. And Baker's not there for me. I think that's the next guy who comes along and becomes Mr. Velvet Freeze, whether that's my son or not, you know, remains to be seen. But,
You're staying busy?
Yes.
Good.
It looks like Justin is on the system working it.
I saw that. Have you, does anybody ever order to be delivered from you, Barb?
Oh, we don't do delivery. Ice cream is really hard.
Yeah.
Okay, now it looks like it's broadcasting to all the attendees from what I just saw pop up.
Okay.
And who are the attendees, sir?
They haven't logged on yet. Let me see if I can
Can you tell your person that
there's two, Michelle. Yes.
Okay, great. Excellent. I see him.
Who are they, if you don't mind?
Rob Kilo and Jim Pisoni.
And were they?
And they're both from the Parks Advisory Committee.
Were they the ones trying to get in?
Yes.
Oh, good. Okay, so we're good shape. So, what was the issue? Was it what Ben said, Mr. Eckridge?
It was exactly what Ben said, that I had to log in as Justin and let them in.
Oh. Okay, so I can allow them to talk if you want to let them in the meeting.
Madam Chair, do you want me to, since they weren't here, do you want me to redo the presentation?
Yes, that is exactly what I would like you to do.
Perfect.
Yes.
I'm going to do it much better this time.
Practice makes perfect.
Yes. Thank you, Madam Chair. So just to summarize for everybody, in 2011, the city of Chesterfield constructed a number of the Everwine Park. It included a dog park, some other amenities, and a trail system, which we're here to talk about today. The trail system, pretty much from its inception, has had problems. It worked satisfactorily for a little while, but there's been erosion issues almost dating back to the beginning. As these erosion issues occurred, the city staff, both Public Works and Parks, have looked at these a number of different ways. We've taken a number of different actions to try to improve those. That included, trying to recompact the trail, putting in some erosion control aggregate and things on the side of the trail, and constructing some private drains. But ultimately, none of those have worked. And in recent years, as we've gotten some heavy rain events, most recently the event on August 12th of 2020, the erosion of trails has just become so substantive that the trails are unusable. I mean, the amount of trail, like the amount of aggregate that you see that is washed away and is next to the fence that separates Dierbergs from Everwine Park is just overwhelming. So Tom and I had looked at this a number of different ways, and what we ultimately decided was, look, continuing to do what we've done just isn't working. So we contracted with Horner and Schifrin earlier this year to study the trail system, look at what we could do to maintain and improve the trail system, and they came up with a report that's been included in your packet. I think, you know, they coordinated with the city staff on this. Some of Tom's staff had some really good ideas on some ways the trail could potentially be rerouted. Horner and Schifrin took those ideas and some of their own ingenuity and came up with, I think, is a really good plan that would include reconstructing portions of the trail, rerouting the trail, and will ultimately result in an improved trail system in Everwine Park. The drawback is that their recommendation is approximately $850,000. So Tom and I and Mr. Geisel put our heads together. We said, okay, leaving the trail system the way it is, where it's eroded and closed, is just not acceptable. But we can't go to council and recommend an expenditure of $850,000 from the parks fund. So we looked at this and said, okay, this kind of fits pretty well into a four-step process. Step one being hire a consultant to create detailed design plans for the revised trail system, including three separate bid packages for construction projects. And then coupled with phase one, which is the design plans, would be park staff going in, removing the deteriorated sections of trail, doing some of the grading work. Then in 2022, 2023, 2024, the city would allocate approximately $200,000 from its capital projects fund to reconstruct the trail as delineated in the plans, the preliminary plans for Horner and Schifrin. Again, complete plans would be completed subsequently. And it's noteworthy that those who use the dog park, the section of trail from the parking lot to the dog facility is actually still usable. That area's had very little erosion, so that part is still open to residents. The dog park is still usable, but this is kind of a multi-year plan to address the trail systems that we think would really work. And again, I'd be happy to address any questions or provide any more details.
Okay, so in the first time around, I had asked, in theory, this would mean that we could have three separate construction companies doing the construction work and, you know, a separate, an engineering firm come up with the design.
Yes, one design firm to create a comprehensive design for the park. We'd ask them to complete three separate bid packages for a phased construction. I believe those that constructed that way, those are each going to be approximately $200,000. I think it might be a little bit less, but about $200,000 or so over that three-year period, which you're exactly correct.
Okay. Mr. McCarthy, I don't have the recording button rolling anymore, just so you know. And then Councilmember Moore had some good points as well, if you want to go ahead and reiterate those. You're muted.
I'm muted.
I've got two anxious dogs here. We're normally at the dog park at this time of day. So the first point I was making is that the trail that we're talking about around Everwine Park is a public amenity. You don't have to be a member of the dog park to use that trail. And as a frequent user of the dog park, that there are many people that walk that trail. You have families with kids on bikes, the occasional jogger or walker and things like that. So I can attest that the trail around the park is used quite a bit. I can also attest that the trail is just in a really sad state of repairs. And it's unfortunate that we've had the kind of weather incidents that we have that have caused the erosion. So I am basically in agreement to proceed on this plan that has been articulated by Director Eckridge.
Councilmember McGinnis.
To bring the attendees up to speed, I raised the issues of funding and the cost. When did the park go in? How was it paid for? How did we get in this fix we're in? And we went over all those things. The funds, according to Mr. Eckridge, will come out of the capital improvements, have sent sales tax fund. Because the park fund doesn't have the cash flow to pay for this, even if we do roll it over for 3 years. And it's the parks fund is the parks. We have a lot of parks debt, and the capital improvements fund paid off its debt. Was it the first of last year? Wasn't it? It was last year.
I believe that's correct.
And so they don't have the cash flow problems over there. This does qualify as a capital improvement project, so we're not in any hot water doing that. And I think wasn't that everything that I went over, the history of here and how we got here and how this mess got made and
right.
how we paid for it. I think that was it, wasn't it? Are they caught up now?
I think Councilmember Keithley had a good point about residents that he has spoken to. If you want to go ahead and repeat that as well.
The pay part, yeah.
Just quickly to briefly touch on it, because it's just something to be cognizant of. I think there's certain expectations with this park. Some residents in conversations have made the statement that, oh, we pay to be members at Eberwine. Obviously a public park, but there are fees associated with the dog park, with registering the dog. And there is a perception that people are more than the other parks, more so, are paying for the privilege of, you know, of using that amenity, a public amenity. But I think there's that perception is a reality and creates an additional expectation that we're providing safe and usable trails. I think that's an important point here.
Thank you, Mr. Keithley.
Madam Chair.
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Moore brought up that you don't have to be a dog park. You don't have to register a dog park. We use trails. Anybody in Chesterfield can use the trails. That's just circle back. I think we got it all out, didn't we?
I think so. I think it's a good point, Ben, that we're sharing this in the public meeting, that it is a public park and that, you know, anybody can use it. You don't have to be a member of the dog park. I know that I think you're very correct in saying that there is a misconception with residents thinking that they have to pay to utilize that trail. Okay, so were there any other questions that we asked that Jim or Tom addressed?
I think maybe the only, and Councilmember McGinnis sort of references, but just for the participants, you know, the reason the trails failed as they did was basically that when this park was constructed, the city staff at the time, you know, tried to construct these in-house, and we believed in, you know, they were just constructed on a grade that was too steep without adequate accommodations for the stormwater drainage. So as much as we tried to fix this at this point with what's there, it's just not going to be successful, which is going to necessitate the trails. You know, the need for the reconstruction, and then Council Member McGinnis asked about the reconstruction and, you know, how long the life is. And I had indicated that, you know, if they're concrete trails, the life of the trail itself would be about 30 years, but could obviously be, you know, reconstructed after that point. It would have to be maintained, but it should need this substantial overhaul like we're doing now.
Anne Marie, did you have a point that you...
It was about the life expectancy. That was the one thing we hadn't recapped, but then he covered
okay.
it.
Okay, very good. So according to your notes, have we recapped everything mm-hmm. for mm-hmm. the attendees? Okay, perfect. Well, I don't know. Is there any more discussion? Is there anything else that we need to discuss before I ask for a motion?
I think we're good.
Okay. Well, then I will entertain whatever motion you want to throw out there. Councilmember Moore.
I will make the motion to accept the recommendation from Director Eckridge for a three-phase approach for correcting the trail at Eberwine Park, starting with an initial allocation of $70,000, I think it was, for the initial design with the recommended consulting company.
Second.
Thank you, ma'am. Any more discussion?
I have a discussion.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. This woman's first name is April. She's got her engineer stamp on it. Did she actually do the work? April Geisman.
April was my main contact on the project. All the work was either done by her or by somebody directly under her.
That's kind of neat. We got a woman doing it. That's nice. Thanks. Women can be in the field, Dan.
That's Robert Keithley.
Thank you. Did I miss the part in the recap? I might have missed the part in the recap, but I just want to make sure that this gets in there. Director Eckridge had an explanation on why the company has already been chosen going forward, with this, and why it's not, we're not bidding out the each individual step of the process. I just want to make sure that if I missed it, I just want to make sure that's in the public version of this.
Well, let me clarify for that. This the first step, as the motion references, is to allocate the $70,000 from the general fund reserves. If that's approved, the city will issue an RFP, request for proposals, or RFQ, request for qualifications, to a number of consultant firms, three to seven. And those firms will submit their qualifications, and from those qualifications, the city staff will select the firm most qualified, will negotiate a contract, and that contract will be submitted to city council for approval. Horner and Schifrin would be one of the firms that we would ask to submit. They'll compete against a limited number of firms on a qualifications basis, and the firm we feel like is most qualified with a contract that we feel like it's reasonable will then be submitted to city council, and that's in accordance with state law. State law prohibits the bidding of engineering or architectural contracts and requires that those be on a qualifications basis.
Thank you, Director.
Okay, any other discussion? All right, then. All those in favor of approving the $70,000, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Any opposed? Perfect. We will send that on to council.
Thank you. Thanks, Jim.
Thank you, Jim.
I'm gonna stay on since I have Justin's credentials pulled up here, so I'll be here if
please.
Something comes up. Otherwise, I'm going to turn my video off.
Perfect. Okay, so I think that the rest of the items are Mr. McCarthy's.
Okay, so we'll move on to the municipal planning grant update. We did apply for the grant and that we discussed at our last meeting, and council approved to go after that. The planning grant for Central Park, the additional 8 acres, so that we have acquired, and we're working with SWT to set up a schedule for our first Zoom public meeting for citizen input. And with that, through our park master plan and some of the previous discussions would also be included in that information. Like one of the reasons initially we acquired that property was parking, green space, additional public use space for a large community events. So those things that would also be taken into, part of the project. So I'll make sure everybody, council, gets the invite, and it will be published on the city website and social media, and also the next brochure, city newsletter that goes out. So that's where we are with municipal planning grant for Central Park. Does anyone have any questions on that?
Also known as the Chesterfield Fairgrounds.
We are right. Going to start referring to that as Central Park, because when we acquired the additional space for the riparian trail, that's also in Central Park. So we just keep calling everything we add to Central Park, Central Park.
Absolutely.
Okay. The next item on the agenda, number 4, Logan Park update. We were able to sign the addendum to the lease for the additional 9 acres in Logan Park. So the 1859 Shetler, where the old ranch house and barn was, is now ours and part of the Logan Park amenity. So that's good news. I'm waiting to get their insurance over to them for that, and then we will start doing some cleanup and continue moving forward with the planning of the park.
That house has been leveled at this point, Tom.
Yeah, it's gone. The barn's gone. Everything's been cleared off. And it's been seeded, strawed, seeded, and then there's
straw. Exactly.
Yeah. So,
Councilmember Hart.
Tom, the utilities are still accessible, I assume. Is that correct?
The utilities are at their main entry into that area.
So you're intending to use those hookups for whatever improvements you're going to make at some point.
At some point, correct. There was no sewer. They had a septic system there. So we will have to, you know, we're going to have to hook up sewer, water, and electric.
You have water and electric at a terminus at the moment. You have no gas?
No, there's no gas. I'm not aware of gas at all. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Councilmember Mastorakis.
Thank you. I just wanted to reiterate that since I've been out here so long, there was a swimming pool behind the house that was torn down. And to my recollection, it was filled up, never removed. So as the planning goes forward, you might hit a whole concrete foundation of a swimming pool in there, just as a FYI.
On that note, Marianne, from your information on the swimming pool, that was addressed and it was removed.
Oh, it was removed.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. They spent a whole day taking that pool out.
So thank you very much, Marianne.
Great.
But you mean you eliminated the concrete pond we had there? Is that what you did?
We could have had a swimming pool.
We could have had a new pool.
We could have had a new pool.
Just another pool to staff, right?
Exactly. Okay, so the next item on the agenda is council directed us to talk about a holiday tree event at Central Park. And so I had discussions with Mr. Geisel and attorney Chris Greville, and as long as we have a holiday tree theme, we are okay, which would include a evergreen tree with lights and ornaments on it, and maybe some silhouettes of reindeer and you know,
numbers,
letters. No, other holiday festival themes like candy canes and snowmen and Santa Clauses and maybe those kind of things. So I was going to say we will work on a conceptual idea and, you know, bring it back to the committee as we get some things figured out.
Great.
Councilmember Keithley.
Just a quick question on it. Would we be looking at doing this to an existing tree, planting a new tree? Is it that far yet? What kind of tree? Is it a fake tree we'd be looking at?
Well, conceptually, I was thinking it would be nice to have a large evergreen tree that was alive and not one that we cut down every year from somewhere and haul it in, but we have the tree in the park. So we'll see what the recommendation is and the cost. I know Eureka spent like, you know, $1,600 on a tree and another $400 on a stand and $500 to have it lit. But I think we can come up with something very nice and then long term.
Councilmember, let's go with McGinnis and I'll come back to you, Ben.
Thank you.
Yeah, I can't see Ben. I see the mayor walking here. I don't know. You know, you guys see that?
That's the mayor.
Yeah. Anyway, well, I always thought maybe the tree should go, you know, how our new son of Central Park, our new, and of course, we've got that circle.
Yes.
that seems to me to be almost the center, and you could see it from everywhere if we had big enough and most and wonderful enough. Whereas an already planted tree that might not be big, in it just that almost feels like the center of town and the center of our assets. And it would be nice if it was there, and surely we've been able to get electricity over to it and stuff, and it could be just enormous, and people could see it from everywhere, as opposed to saying, oh, here's a 15-foot tree, and it's already there. So, I mean, I think it really needs to make a statement about these are the holidays, and besides the turkey trot and the 4th of July, we don't do anything together as a community. I think it would just be, and there are things that I know you have candy cane, you have lots of stuff you do. However, as a general community, I think a tree lighting ceremony would be excellent. If subdivisions and Girl Scout troops and schools could make ornaments where we could put them on and tie them on, so a good strong wind wouldn't find them all over the place, as long as they weren't glass, you know. There could be real community involvement in this thing and the events surrounding it. We could have carolers and hot chocolate. It would just be a really fun event. So in terms of locale, it seems to me that there would be parking there and that would be the place to have it. What do you guys think?
Well, that was exactly what I was thinking. So girl power for that. So Mr. McCarthy.
How about if we come up with a few concepts and we'll come back to you? My one concern with the tree and the roundabout is it's surrounded by a street. So little kids running to the Christmas tree could create an issue with that road being open all the time during the tree festival and the tree being up there for the holidays. So there is no existing pine tree or conifer tree at Central Park that I would say, oh, this is a really good Christmas tree. So it'd probably be something that we'd have to plant. But we also want to make sure when we update the park and that 8 acres, that we keep that design concept in mind that we're going to have an annual tree lighting, and where would a good spot be for the tree?
Well, if we did use that circle drive or roundabout right there, couldn't we, for the hours that we're having the tree lighting ceremony, could we not close the road?
We could close the road, but during all the other evening hours where families are coming by to look at the tree, or during the day come by and get pictures with the tree, the road would not be closed for month, you know, from say it's the third week of November till, you know, New Year's Day or whatever.
But isn't that the same issue with the awakening as well? I mean, you know?
Well, you can pull right up to the awakening park. Yeah, it is an issue with kids running back and forth from the awakening to the playground, to the pavilion, to the restroom. And that's why a lot of times during special events, we shut Veterans Honor Park down.
Yeah. Okay. Barb?
This would be something that staff would try to work out. We want it to be in the most visible place, the most accessible. Of course, we don't want to kill kids running across the street at the tree. So, and we do still have a police force here. It seems to me we ought to be able to somehow manage this. And, you know, maybe there'd be hours for the tree, or, you know, where you're come and get your picture and have this and that. I don't know. But it just seems to me that it's, that it would be such a special event. It seems to me we could work these things out.
Okay. So what's a time frame that you're looking at, Tom, for getting some sort of concept plan back to us?
Probably next month or so. Okay. I mean, we probably wouldn't do anything with the tree till or the event till our August brochure comes out. So we have some time to think about it, and we're working on getting budget numbers together and those kind of things.
Okay, perfect. All right. Next on the agenda is unfinished business. I don't have any. Does anybody know of any new business? Anybody? Awesome. All right, then, with that being said, I'll go ahead and adjourn this meeting at 5:02 p.m. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Guys, thanks.
Thanks. Sorry about that.